Thank you, Brother Pirtle. Praise the Lord, everybody. Has God been good to you? My goodness, God's been so good to me. And I looked at my wife just a minute ago and I said, he's going to keep on and get my sermon. But it lets me know that God's just confirming what he's laid on my heart. I feel that I've heard from the Lord, and I'm so honored to be with you folks again. It's always good to come back home, and this is kind of home to me. And I won't waste your time. I'll go into the word of the Lord. If you'll stand with me, I'm going to be reading a few more scriptures than I normally do. And the reason is I want to read to you about some people that I want to preach about today. So first I want to go to the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse number 19 through 21, talking about Samson. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines will be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Jumping all the way over to Jonah, chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jumping over to Matthew chapter 26, and verse beginning at verse number 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. One more reading in your hearing, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, just for the sake of time. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Lord, I love you so very much, and I thank you for the beautiful opportunity of breaking the bread of the word today. Would you let it be not me, Lord, but would you once again preach through these vocal cords and these feeble lips of clay and bless this precious people, I pray, thanking you, and loving you, Jesus. In your name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. God bless the reading and the ministry of the word. You may be seated. Before I tell you what I want to preach about, let me just ask you a question or two. How many of you or have you ever got up to go to work and you were not really sick, but you just didn't want to go to work? Anybody ever faced that? Or school? Or how many of you housewives have got up and you had some chores that really needed to be done? I just don't want to. Has anybody ever felt like that? I want to preach to you today with the help of the Lord. Is there a doctor in the house? And the reason that God dealt with me, and you got all over it, is because it happens in the spiritual as same as it does in the natural. If you've lived for God any time at all, I don't have to ask you. There have been times you got up and it was church day and you don't know what was wrong, but I don't want to go to church. I wish I could tell you and it'd be true. When you get the Holy Ghost, all your problems disappear. You made a statement a while ago. There's sometimes you just got to say like I do, Schubert, you're going to do this. You don't really feel like it. You don't want to. I preached a message one time. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. You know if you got a job, you got to get up and go to work. You know if you're going to go to heaven, you got to get up and you got to go to church. You got to pray. You got to talk to the Lord. You got to hear the word. Can I tell you, there is a doctor in the house, and just because you're a little spiritually doesn't mean death. You know, I read in your hearing about four different men, and Samson, to our knowledge, was the strongest man that ever lived, other than the Lord, of course. The Lord, all he had to do is speak it. Samson was a giant among men. Unbelievable. But he got to hanging around with somebody that he shouldn't have been hanging around. Have you ever got around people that were contagious with something and you wound up getting what they had? Can I tell you that can happen in the spirit world? You need to be careful who your best friend is. You need to be careful who you hang out with, because the devil's got a way of allowing some of that to rub off on you. Can I tell you there is a doctor that's a specialist in all fields? And he knows exactly how to fix whatever you have. But you got to get to the doctor. You cannot hang around those kind of people forever and it not affect you. You know, Samson, the man that he was, and he got hanging around her, and it finally got him. You know, I knew a man years ago. He was wealthy, very wealthy. And God had brought him and his wife into the church. And he had business connections. And I heard him say this. And he went to a particular show that was connected with his business. And he sat in a restaurant. And a man across from him was smoking. And he told that man, said, give me one of those cigarettes. God had delivered him from it. So you see, I know whereof I speak today. And that man gave him a cigarette. And he thought within himself, this was his words, if I'm going to smoke, I need to buy my own. And he picked it up again. Can I tell you, there is a doctor that can take care of that. And his name is Jesus. But you got to get to the doctor. You got to tell him, doctor, that Jesus, there's something wrong. I need some help. But can I tell you today, Jesus has never refused, to my knowledge, when somebody cried out to him, there is a God on the throne, and he knows how to fix anything that's wrong with you. I'm glad to tell you that man prayed back through, and I was in the hospital when he drew his last breath. But it didn't need to happen. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with me? Let me tell you something. I wish I could tell you, but we don't always feel like swinging from the chandeliers. We don't always feel like running around the church. Sometimes we just got to put ourselves to the wheel and push the load. But you know what? You can move that load. And when it's all over, then we'll run around the church. I wish I could tell you everything was always shouting weather. But there's some storms in life. There's some times we got to just buckle up and say, Lord, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do my best to live for you. I may struggle. I may stumble. I may even fall. But God, by your grace, I'll get up and I'll try again and I'll stay in the church. And the devil's going to say to you, you going back to church? Tell him, yes, I am. I'm going to meet the doctor there and I'm going to get restored there. I'm going to get back in good favor with my Lord. And by the grace of God, I'm going on with the Lord. It is amazing. See, this is really, it's a restaurant where we get fed, but it's also a hospital. We're not here to kick you when you're down. We're your brother. We're your sister. We're here to help you. Brother Pirtle, I'm not here to say, man, he blew it. I'm here to say, Brother Pirtle, let me help you back up. I know you messed up, and I don't know that he did. But if he did, I'm not here to condemn him. I'm here to say, I want you back in church. You're my brother. I'm not going to kick you, but I'm going to help you get back up. And together, we're going to talk to the doctor, and we're going to make sure everything is all right. Is there a doctor in the house? Samson got back to God at the end, but boy, it cost him that sickness that he developed, hanging around Delilah. Oh, dear God, like the man that was hanging around with the wrong people and said, give me one of those cigarettes. And then he thought, but you know what? Even though he went back to smoking, Dr. Jesus found him, and he treated him, and he got back in the church. What a great and a merciful doctor we've got. Even though you, like the prodigal son, the father could have said, like the older brother, you walked away, now deal with it. But the father didn't say that. He welcomed him. Can I tell somebody today, you may have wandered away from God, but I'm telling you, God's wanting you back. God's not looking to destroy you. God loves you, and God wants you restored back into the family. Is there a doctor in the house? Oh, my. Jonah, what in the world is wrong with you, man? I knew a situation one time where a church started a bus ministry back when it was so popular. And the pastor went to a young lady and asked her, would she be a bus captain? And she said, I didn't feel nothing. But she said, yeah, I don't know how, but I'll do it. And you know what? God blessed them in that bus. She was captain over. But then there have been others who said no. Like Jonah, no, sir, I ain't. No, I'm not going to do that. I'd forgot about it. We had some singers in our church one time when I pastored center. And they were good. I won't tell you what their name was because some of you would know who I'm talking about. But it's amazing. I asked her one night, I said, I want you to testify. And she said, oh, Brother Hubert, please don't ask me to say anything. I mean, she could sing. She said, I can sing. But please don't ask me to say anything. I just simply cannot say anything in the front of people. She was terrified. And some people are like Jonah. No, sir, don't ask me to do that. I ain't going to do it. That's what Jonah said. But Jonah got back right with God. Can I tell you? God had every reason to say, if that's the way you feel, get in the whale's belly and die there. But God used the whale's belly to Dr. Jonah, and God brought him back. Can I tell you, God doesn't want you out of the church. God wants you in the church. God doesn't want you backslid. God wants you in the family. God wants you saved. God wants you to be one of his kids. There is a doctor in the house. You know what? I think sometimes it's just a spiritual virus. You know, sometimes our grandkids, and by the way, to all you grandparents, happy Grandparents Day. But sometimes the kids will call and say, I got something wrong with my stomach. My wife minces no words. She says, don't come around here now. I don't want that stuff you got, whatever it is. But sometimes you sit on the church seat and they're singing a good song. I don't feel like singing. I had forgot about it. My wife reminded me just a day or so ago. By the grace of God, I won my brother and his wife to the Lord many, many years ago. And one time they picked her up while I was in the army, went to church. And when they got to church, my brother said, I ain't going in. I ain't got no victory. You ever felt like that? You wonder, like the Lord did on the cross, God, why have you deserted me? Jesus said that. Why have you forsaken me? And sometimes you wonder, God. Job said it. I feel on my right, I feel on my left, I feel in the back, I feel in the front, but I cannot find him anywhere. You get to church and you're dry as those dry bones in the valley. And you think, I ain't got no victories. No, I don't want to go in. Come on in, folks. Dr. Jesus is in the house. And you're going to, I've heard somebody say, I have not gone, never gone to church bad and went in that I didn't feel a lot better when I left than I did when I get in. There's victory in the house. There's healing in the house. There's whatever you need in the house of the Lord. You may have done something, said something, but I'm telling you, Dr. Jesus is in the house. So Jonah repented in the belly of the whale. You know, it doesn't take long to repent. It doesn't take 3 days of penance and 2 weeks of this and another week of that. You can be repentant and find forgiveness in just a matter of minutes. Actually, the minute your heart gets in the right condition, God will forgive you. And you can walk in low as a fish's belly and walk out shouting the victory. That's how good doctor does it. I have never had a dose of drugs, illegal drugs, never to my knowledge. But I have had some medication that the doctors gave me that when I got it in my veins, I sure felt a lot better. I have had pain, extreme pain. And when they finally gave me the right medicine, it really felt good because the pain disappeared. Can I tell you, the pain in your heart can leave today. God can give you the right medicine to take care of whatever it is that ails you. You know, you go to the doctor now, and if it's not just a little common thing, he wants to send you to a specialist. Can I tell you, the specialist is in the house? Doesn't matter what's wrong with you spiritually. Actually, it doesn't matter physically either. He can be the doctor physically, and he certainly is the doctor spiritually. And it doesn't take him long to diagnose. He already knows what's wrong. And to say, do this. You know, it's amazing. I've seen pictures of the Lord. That's all I've seen. Like the prodigal son and the father. You know, I am so glad God doesn't have the attitude that older brother had. But I'm human. I understand how that older brother felt. That younger brother, he was pretty rotten, wasn't he? I mean, let's face it. He took what daddy had and went and blew it all, then come crawling back. It don't seem right. But you know what? You look at a backslider that's left God's blessings in the church and went out and done bad, bad things, then they come back. If you're not careful, you'll think, oh, here they come crawling back now. They got trouble. I've seen it. I might look at them and think, they don't deserve it, and really they don't, but I don't deserve God's mercy either. And neither do you. But God doesn't look at it like we do. He sees one of his kids that's fallen by the wayside and done some bad things. You know, I can't remember none of those killers' names that used to be in the headlines. I'm staying away from those steps. But some of those that made headlines, and if you want to get my granddaughter riled up, you mention a child rapist. But somebody that would do something like that to a child or kill a bunch of people, and they come in and kneel at this altar, you got to be careful or this flesh will rise to the surface. But you know what? When the blood of the Lamb is applied, it makes them just like you. They may spend the rest of their life in prison because we still have to pay for our social deeds. That doesn't mean God can't save them behind prison cells. God can wash them, and the blood of the Lamb of God can wash the dirtiest one, but the cleanest one has got to have the same blood or we're going to the same place that he is. See, there is no heaven for nice little boys and bad little boys. There's just heaven. And in the same way with hell, there's no hell for really bad ones and hell for the nice ones. It's just hell or heaven. And the blood of the Lamb of God cleanses us, the Bible said, from all unrighteousness. That's hard to understand, isn't it? We have to watch this flesh because it will cause us problems. Is there a doctor in the house? I've got a friend. He's not my best friend. I pastored him for quite a long time. I saw pictures before he ever got in the church. And I mean, he was a bad-looking dude. But his best friend really won him. And after he got in the church, his best friend, who was in the church all those years, said, I never thought I'd ever see you in the church. Isn't that amazing? I never knew him when he looked like the picture that I saw. But you know what? The blood of the Dr. Jesus changed him, and he made a nice-looking saint of God and a tremendous church member, all because he met Dr. Jesus, and Dr. Jesus cleaned him up, forgave him, made him a child of God, and a good church member that was very valuable in the church. my. You're quiet on me today, but that's okay. Is there a doctor in the house? I will almost guarantee you, in a crowd this size, there's somebody in here that needs Dr. Jesus today. I don't need to know what's wrong. Demas, well, let me talk about Peter for a minute. Peter had what I'd call a spiritual heart attack. You see, sometimes death is long drawn out, and sometimes it's pretty quick. And a man in my church years ago, a good man, won him to the Lord, baptized him and his family. But he told me one day, out of the blue, "Brother Schubert, nobody's done anything. Nobody's said anything. I just don't want to live it." That's been years ago. Years ago. He was a tremendous man in my church. Just blew our mind. And he's still not in the church, and he's getting up in years. So sometimes I like to say Peter had a spiritual heart attack. Because if you'll recall, just a short time before, "I'll never deny you, Lord. Not me. I'll die with you, but I'll never deny." And just a few hours later, "I don't know him." And just to convince, he began to curse and to swear and say, "I don't know him." But thank God, Dr. Jesus got a hold of him and he made it back into the fold. Can I tell you, there is a doctor in the house today and he knows exactly what to do to fix your problem. It doesn't matter whether it's a slow disease, whether it's a virus, or whether it's a heart attack. Can I tell you, God knows what to do today. And we're not certain people. You don't need to confess to a preacher. All you need to do is tell God about it. Demas. What happened to Demas? I don't know. All I know is he left. I've known preachers, sad to say, preached the gospel and walked away. Why? Where are you going? Jesus said, "They that are whole don't need the physician, but they that are sick." And no matter who we are or where we are in our walk with God, there are times we need Dr. Jesus. You're not always going to be singing that happy song. There's sometimes you just don't feel good. There's sometimes you just don't know. Have you ever got up and, please don't raise your hand, but have you ever got up in the morning and you just, somebody say something, I just want to get somebody. I'm getting some kind of embarrassed giggles. You don't know what's wrong, you just know you're wrong. But I ain't wrong, everybody around me is. We're kind of like the old story that I heard years ago. And this woman tried her best to please her husband, and nothing she could do was right. So one morning she made up her mind, "I'm going to please him today if it kills me." So she put on her fanciest dress, fixed her hair, and she went into the bedroom and asked him after he woke up, "Sweetheart, what do you want for breakfast?" He said, "I want 2 eggs, 3 slices of bacon, and 2 biscuits. And I want the eggs, 1 scrambled and 1 fried." coming right up. So she went down and she scrambled one egg, fried one egg, cooked the bacon, and baked the biscuit. Put it on a tray with a nice hot cup of coffee and carried it to his bed. And he looked at it and he said, "Just what I figured, you scrambled the wrong egg." So you see, there's some days, it don't matter what somebody does right, it's wrong. And if somebody were to say shout, you might shout, but it wouldn't be praised. This flesh gives us fits sometimes. Have you ever had somebody pull out in front of you in traffic? And you say, "Lord, bless that person." It ain't me. But I know somebody said, "I wish the idiots would stay off the road." You see, this flesh gives us trouble sometimes. The Bible said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes my flesh needs God to doctor it. You can't do it. No human can do it. But oh God, how many times has he took care of what it was that was ailing me here? I heard one of our really, really officials one time. He did something in the pulpit, and then he looked at another preacher, and he said, and I quote, he said, "Brother, I'm not asking you to forgive me if I was wrong. I'm asking because I was wrong." I thought, my Lord, you don't get above this. You don't get too spiritual that flesh can't bother you sometimes. Paul said, "I fear lest happily after I've preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." I don't think I'm exaggerating or stretching one bit, but I believe I've said it at least thousands of times. God, please don't let me miss you. Please don't let me miss you. Do you feel that way today? God, when I need a doctor, help me. I told my wife one day, I said, "It seems like I'm either saying thank you, Lord, or help me, Lord." She thought that's funny, and maybe you do too. But I need a lot of help. I live inside this body, but I have never gone to the Lord and him say, "Don't bother me anymore." But I've always found a loving God that's there ready. It don't matter what it is. He's never criticized me. He's never said you know better. He's never made fun of me. He never said I'm not going to help you anymore. But he's always been there. Would you just stand right now and let's love God and let's thank him for his mercy and for his kindness and for his goodness. Is there a doctor, really a doctor in the house? Can I tell you, Dr. Jesus is in the house. And if you need something from him today, I want us to come around the front and I want us to just be honest and ask the Lord to help you. You can stand, you can kneel, it doesn't matter. Remember, Dr. Jesus is always on call. He's always ready to lift you up, always ready to help you, always ready to bless you.
Bring him home upon me.
You don't need an appointment with this doctor. He's always there. Can I tell you, he loves you more than you know today. He cares about you. There is no problem. There is no sickness so bad that God can't take care of it, but neither is no sickness so small that he will refuse to help you with it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.